Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Naturopathic Futures. I am super excited today to speak to an incredible practitioner who is just leading the way in the field of supporting particularly elite athletes, bizarrely enough, and the general public in a very unique space that we'll get to in a second. But Louise first started out as a general practitioner who was working on a seasonal basis, and you all know my love of the seasons. I'm super excited to introduce you to Louise Cork. Hello, lovely.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Nice to chat. I love that you started out as a GP of a practitioner, but I also love hearing the origin stories of where we all came into the world of naturopathic practice. What was it like for you? Where did you come from to land as a naturopath?
It was a long and convoluted path that doesn't make any sense at all. I've done lots of things in my life. I never really knew where I fit. I didn't really know where I fit at school or anything like that. And I did a lot of things. I worked for IKEA for 7 years. I've worked in banking. I have owned cafes. I've done all these things. But the common thread through every job that I ever had, right from my first job at McDonald's when I was a teenager, was always helping or supporting people to reach their next level of potential. And obviously, that looked different in all of those roles. And then I had my children when I was a bit older, cue geriatric pregnancy. And at that point in time, that was a really pivotal time in my life. I had my first two children quite close together. And not that I loved being at home with my children, but also my brain needed more. And at the same time, it was an opportunity for me to stop and to go within and decide, what do I want the next part of my life to look like? What do I want to do? Where is my place? Because I felt like I hadn't found that. And thanks to a little thyroid problem postpartum, I found naturopathy.
Wow.
And so I started studying with a 2 and a 1 year old. And I studied full time. I was not going a day over 4 years of doing my degree. And I finished my degree with a baby as well. So
Wow.
at the start of my last year at uni, I had a baby in trimester one, not in trimester one of pregnancy, in trimester one of studying. Got married and somehow fitted in all my clinic blocks, and it was
And it
wild.
was done within the 4 year mark.
And it did not go a day over 4 years.
So I got married in my final year of uni as well, and in my first year out had my youngest. So I can really empathize with that notion of trying to fit it all in and what it feels like, and this kind of re-identification of who you are when you're starting to become a clinician and a practitioner. What was it like to emerge with a newborn, getting married, two other kids, and a fresh degree?
And a fresh degree. Oh, and then also my husband went on work cover for 9 months, which was both a blessing and a curse. Obviously, it's not great that happened. He works in emergency services, enough said, but it allowed me in the first 6 months of being a practitioner to be very open in my availability. I worked really hard to get bums on seats, essentially, in that first 6 months, and I did. I took anyone and everyone. But by about 5 months in, I was starting to work out who was my ideal client and who wasn't in terms of the types of people. But then I started noticing other things when I was questioning. And I'm a quite curious person, and I'm always asking the next question. What's the next question? And I did some training with Jules Galloway on adult ADHD, which I won, and I'm eternally grateful. But we were talking about chronic low-grade neuroinflammation, and I was like, oh my God. All these, if you could literally see the pennies raining down, that was me. It was
Oh, I
very much
love it
that
when
moment.
everything just falls into place and you find your language and you find your, yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, this is what we see in CTE.
And CTE for
Post-traumatic.
everybody who's listening.
So CTE is chronic traumatic encephalitis. It's encephalitis, something like that. It's a big word.
Chronic inflammation from brain injury,
Correct.
which often comes from concussion.
Concussion, that's right. And concussion is something that's always come up in our house. It's a conversation we've had watching sport. It's a conversation we've had about my husband's history playing sport. It's a concern we've had as parents with children who love sport. So it's always been around. And then when this conversation happened, I was like, whoa, why aren't we doing something about this? And so I had my general practice, and then on the other hand, I was like, I'm going to start talking about concussion. And then I was like doing two things, but not really,
I
as
hear
you
this a
know.
lot, practitioners trying to be the general practitioner and accept everybody because that's what we're taught to do, but then sticking their foot over the other side of the fence in and dabbling in niching, but then having 2 feet on either side of a fence gives us splinters up the bum, I keep saying, because you know.
Because you can't really give either your full attention. And it is really scary to step into a niche, especially one that nobody is occupying space in. Nobody is specifically talking about concussion and what a naturopathic approach in concussion can actually do. There are people around who work with the brain and neurological health. It's all in different areas, but this is very specific. And so it did take another 18 months until I went, we got to pick one. So we can pick the one where we talk about not random things, but a variety of things, and lots of people are talking about those things. Or we can pick the hard one that no one's talking about, no one wants to know about, and change the whole paradigm. That's my goal. Just gonna change the world.
I love that though. I am a paradigm shifting type. I really lean towards those ideas. I love that notion from The Big Leap by, sorry, not The Big Leap, Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. And she talks about ideas coming to dance with us because they're very specific to come and dance with us, but they may dance away and go and dance with somebody else if we don't pay attention to them. And for you, dancing with the idea for 18 months and probably seeing the occasional concussion, or it's really interesting when we start to lean into a niche, the waves of different people, like you would have got the waves of ADHDers and then the waves of people who had traumatic brain injury from something random, and then comes the waves of the concussion people. And you're like, well, should I, shouldn't I, should I, shouldn't I? But it's a really interesting thing to step into the leadership because it does take leadership if you're going into a niche or a place that other people haven't done before, because it takes a lot of guts and to step up and start to really take up space. It's a really big mindset shift,
Huge.
but so
Absolutely.
needed because the more you step into it, there's more people there, right?
Yes. And the more you step into it, the more you see how much the conversation needs to shift. And I mean that in the general public. And I guess one thing I noticed in clinic before I actually drew the line in the sand and went, okay, we've got to do this. Is that I always asked the question anyway, have you had been in any accidents, injuries, had any head impacts or concussions? And the answer was yes, more often than not. So it is kind of everywhere. And then what I observed is that it's really, for so many people, an injury that we are led to believe is innocuous, like you'll just get over it. But for so many people, it's a never better since point in time. And that manifests in all of these different ways for different people, which other modalities that deal with concussion will just go, oh, it's completely unrelated. But when you map it out from a naturopathic point of view and zoom out, you go, whoa, I can see all the dominoes tumbling.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not unless I look back on the biggest concussion or head knock that happened in my family was actually my husband doing 30 kilometers an hour straight into a tree and then broke his C4, C5. Thankfully, it was stable. Thankfully, it was able to be stabilized and fixed. But the year after that was a real challenge for us. And I didn't know why at the time. I just thought, oh, he's bumped his head. He's had some surgery. Not a big deal. Let's go back to the normal. But Honestly, for us, we were dealing with personality changes. We were dealing with waves of fatigue. We were dealing with different moods and things like that. That I just, it was like being married to a different person for 12 months. And it wasn't until probably about the 6 month mark that I started to make the naturopathic connections that actually, this is a complete blood-brain barrier stall. Oh, actually, the entire microbiome's changed from this. Oh, actually, there are so many layers to it. But I just, because of exactly what you're describing, we go to the hospital, maverick surgeon says, oh, it'll all be fixed for walkout tomorrow. And all you're thinking about is, great, he's not projectile vomiting and he's walking out of the hospital tomorrow. And I'm sure we do it with all our kids and their head injuries as well. Great, no projectile vomiting and walking out of the hospital, everything's fine. That you don't dive deeper into it. And I think what you're saying is this conversation needs to happen on a much broader scale and start to permeate places like that.
Absolutely. I will always say to everyone, this is bigger than me. And I hope that I'm just starting the conversation in a different way. And in starting the conversation, I've started to collect a group of people who are thinking like similar sort of things in different modalities, from physiotherapy to osteopaths to a research, or there's all these kind of people, even mouth guards that measure the force of the impact. And they share a similar philosophy, but it's about making sure that people really understand this, because everyone you speak to who's in this area of work will tell you how frequently they see people really pushing for their kids to be cleared for sport or
Yeah.
just
And
getting on
your
with
work
it.
with elite athletes and sports teams shows you a similar thing. It's the thing that it's hush hush and we don't talk about that kind of stuff.
It's scary. And we'll just prop you up on anti-inflammatory so you can go out and play a game. And I think when it comes to athletes, they're essentially a business asset.
Of
They're a
course, of
commodity.
course, yeah.
So the more time out they have, the teams essentially, it's costing money. And it's really sad to think that money is a deciding factor in people's long-term health outcomes and their brain health, and that we just get on with it. And you do see in every contact sport now, there's lots of legal proceedings and
Yep.
discussion around insurance and things like that. And I'm just sat here going, but hey, there's actually more we can do. We can actually do better now. We don't need to wait for more research. We have stacks. We just need to connect the pieces. And also, fun fact, modulating the microbiome pre-injury is a risk mitigation strategy. It's
Ooh, say that again. That's great.
modulating the microbiome pre-injury
Yeah.
is a risk mitigation strategy, but it's also competitive advantage, because we know that an optimized microbiome, good butyrate producers, and all those beneficial species is actually helpful for someone's athletic performance
And recovery,
and recovery.
just from your everyday seasonal practice recovery, not from a head injury recovery, literally from everyday sport. Yeah, amazing.
And if you look at, say, professional sports, and you could, if you're into statistics, you could go ahead and do this, but you will see a direct correlation between head impact, lower limb injury, head impact, lower limb injury. Very shortly after returning to the sport, it's very common, scarily common. Or they've had a concussion, they've come back, and then they get another. It could be a bump to anywhere in the body. It could be the head as well. And you normally you'd go, oh yeah, that's nothing, and then they're wiped out. And that's because the injury hasn't been fully resolved, because you can't see it. But we can't keep using that as an excuse to not do something about it. And I just think what we do in the prime of these people's lives as athletes or children or anyone matters for when they're 50, 60, 70, 80, 90.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what you were just discussing is that optimized health is a prevention factor, but what happens when it does happen? Can you talk us through what happens in that first bang hit the head? What's actually occurring for somebody then?
So there's actually lots of things happening. So initially, so there's some sort of force to the head that moves the brain. And when the brain's moving, there's like stretching of the neurons. And then our glial cells are like, oh, we need to fix it. So they kind of like jump into action and they get to work. And that's productive. The problem comes when they don't resolve and we don't really ever give them the opportunity to resolve, so they just keep going. They're on a hamster wheel, right? And at the same time, there's a big dump of glutamate, there's changes in the cellular function, so like calcium's rushing in. And but so there's all this stuff going on in the brain. The blood-brain barrier, very selective, loses its selectivity. But also the gut increases in permeability and loses its selectivity. So things that wouldn't normally go into the bloodstream or cross the blood-brain barrier now have this open doorway. So that's why your microbial makeup of your gut matters at the time of injury. Because, and then aside from the fact that the balance changes, so you tip the balance of microbial diversity. And you change, your immune system's activated, so the mucosal layer changes, all those functional changes. But if you've got, say, gram-negative bacteria like HexaLPS producers, we know, we call them endotoxins, right?
Of
We
course.
know that they are inflammatory systemically. So now we've got systemic inflammation. You could go down the rabbit hole of those lower limb injuries. Why are they so devastating post-concussion?
And
Because
that
you're
cycle of pro-inflammatory cytokines, just having a party on every
having a
surface.
party, but then it's going to the brain and it's keeping the brain stuck in this loop as well. But on the other side, IPA producers are beneficial to the brain. They are anti-inflammatory in the brain. They support resolution in the brain. So that's why, that's a very brief nutshell of why it's really important.
And if we're not doing that precursory work, what do you think is a clinical window for really impactful stuff to happen when it comes to head injury? Because, like you said, things can flow on. Do we have a little window of opportunity?
Yeah, I think what happens in the first 72 hours is really important. And why that is, think about people who play football or rugby, for example, or soccer or whatever. When they play a game and they finish the game, what do they do next?
Go have beers to celebrate.
Beers to celebrate, or maybe if they might have isotonic drinks or high sugars to recover, they might have protein. Isolated whey proteins, those big proteins that we know can be inflammatory to a vulnerable gut. None of those things are very helpful.
Of course, yeah.
And I guess the danger zone is that if you've had a concussion before and the concept of glial priming means that I could punch you in the arm and reactivate those glial cells into action.
Of course.
It doesn't mean I've had an injury today. It could mean I've got a unresolved past injury and I'm just adding fuel to my bonfire. So yeah, it is important.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we've talked about preventative, we've talked about that critical 72-hour window. What happens when someone comes to see you and you've taken that clinical case and somebody says, I've never been the same since, and it was 8 years ago. What can you do
Yeah.
then?
I would follow the same process, really focusing on the person in front of you. What is going on for them? But then you have to dig deeper. What happened at the time of injury? What action was taken at the time of injury? Did they take medication, antibiotics? If they're in a car accident, there's probably going to be lots of painkillers and infection prevention and all that kind of stuff. And then what was their health like beforehand?
Excellent
Because
timeline.
you really have to timeline it out. All of that matters. And then you still have to peel the layers of the onion step by step, layer by layer. But I think the most important part is it doesn't matter if it's 8 years or 20 years or 30 years or more or a week, is that there's always the ability to give your body the conditions it needs to thrive. to give your body the conditions it needs to heal, because the human body is incredible if you give it the right environment.
I agree. I love that. It gives me goosebumps just thinking about that. So I happen to see that there has been some news items about your influence on concussion, and I have been following a couple of different people who are hikers and things like that that have had these journeys that have long-term concussion impacts that you've been able to support to the point where somebody wasn't able to do their job and is now going on multi-day hikes and doing all these amazing things. What is the biggest shift you've seen in the clients that you've helped? Because I think that's why we're all in it, right? We're all in it to help somebody. And I know that I have my favorite clients that I've been like, oh my goodness, that person showed up and I was like, oh. And then we can really shift people's lives, right?
Yeah, you really can change people's lives when you give them the tools and the information. And more than that, you give them hope and empower them to take back their agency and to take control over their health. That their health is something that they can influence with every decision that they make throughout the day. I always say every time I go to the gym, I'm depositing into the bank of Old Lady Louise.
I love that. That's
It's the same thing. And changes that you might see in people, like the person that you're describing, when I first met them, they were unable to go to work. They couldn't do anything for any amount of time. They loved running, but they struggled to run, and they just kept trying to push it because it was their passion. And sometimes it's really hard to accept our own limitations as well.
especially after an injury, the thing that got us there in the first place is the thing you want to get back to, really. And yeah.
And so anyway, we just within 6 weeks had a follow-up, and this person's, guess what? I quit my job. And I was like, that And they told me that they were very diligent. They'd followed everything I asked, and we'd stopped running and started doing walking and yoga, yin yoga and Pilates and lower impact things to channel them, keep building strength, but not bounce around the pavement with our head knocking around.
That's good insight there. Yes.
But the reason was that when they had their injury, or the injury that broke the straw of the camel's back kind of thing, all of their life's goals felt like they were taken away from them. And within 6 weeks, they felt like they had control of their life and they could see the future again. And their dream was to walk the Pacific Crest, which is from Mexico to Canada.
Yeah.
Crazy.
For someone who can't go for a whole day of work to then being, oh yeah, that's a possibility. Wow.
And then now, they hiked from Sydney to Newcastle. That was their first test. If you look at my highlights on my Instagram stories, you can see the news article about it. Just incredible. And for other people, it might be energy being max an hour and a half in the morning, shifting it to 4 or 5 hours to then being able to go back to work. So it can look different for different people, but always, when you see someone go, oh my God, things can change, then they want more of that. So,
Of course, of course.
which they never thought they could have before.
And I think that's the big thing, that level of hope that just felt out of reach before, to have that back, of course that's going to change your biochemistry in and of itself, right? Just the hope. But then to apply all those things that you were just talking about, these bringing back the integrity of these permeable membranes and bringing down that inflammatory response and really changing that cascade and then changing somebody's whole life perspective because they are able to do it and you've been able to sit in a situation where you've provided that environment and that lessons for them. Oh my goodness, what an amazing partnership to be able to be a part of. I love our profession to do that.
It's pretty cool because, and you can ask anyone who's got post-concussion symptoms or post-concussion syndrome, they, especially people post-sport, they are staring down the barrel of cognitive decline. They are led to believe that is their fate and there's nothing they can do about it. So when they start to see, oh, hang on, maybe that doesn't have to happen, or it doesn't have to be as bad, or it doesn't have to be as soon, that is pretty incredible.
Amazing. And what I've loved hearing your story is that you've connected with a network of other people who believe this too. And it's not just a hit and miss situation, hit and miss until you have that hit that does you in. And I hear that you're making a podcast with all of these incredible people. Is
I am going to make a
that.
podcast because working through a concussion injury, I can't do what a physiotherapist does or an osteopath, but they can't do what I do. And then there are other practitioners who you might never have even considered who work with concussion, from audiologists to optometrists to, yeah, there's so many.
Course, so much affects your head and your face, and then you're talking about lower limbs and you're talking about balance. Yeah, so it really brings in that collaborative care model when we start talking to other practitioners who are on the same trajectory, have the same values, have the same mission and vision to be able to help these concussion, long-term post-traumatic brain injury types of clients. And coming
Yeah.
at it from every different angle creates an entirely different level of hope than that first 72 hours and get back to it type of scenario that has been the prevailing paradigm up until now.
Yeah, it really has. And that's if concussion's even mentioned. But the beautiful thing that I hope to create with Concussion Academy and the podcast is that people, practitioners, feel empowered to know who they should refer to and when. Because until 4 or 5 months ago, I would never have gone, hey, you know what? I need to refer you to a specialist optometrist.
Of course, yeah. Isn't
So
that cool?
building that collective network. Yeah, so I'm like, nobody's doing it, so I'm gonna make it.
Fantastic. Because it affects every family. I don't know anyone that hasn't had somebody in their family knock their head. And if we can start to have a different conversation about this, and I'm so glad that you're leading the way in this and that the Concussion Academy has those basis of information just to be able to get our own heads around it. For want of a better term, get our heads around it. But also so that we know that the exact right people for that village, for that person that we're here to help, are there and available, and we're able to do those referrals. I love what you're doing, Louise. I'm so grateful that you exist. And thank you for your wisdom. Where can people find out more if they want to dive deeper?
So my website is theconcussionnaturopath.com. Instagram is concussionnaturopath. My inbox is always open, and I'm always happy to connect and answer questions because nothing lights me up more than changing the way people think about this injury.
Amazing. Thank you. And thank you all for listening.